Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Used Wigs Radio, podcast number 46. On tonight's very special episode, we talk to Russ about his brand new book, Spreadsheeting with Russ, How to Manage Your Life and Wife with Spreadsheets. Yes.
And wife, yes.
And if that isn't special enough for you, we are pleased as punch to have a special guest in the studio, illustrator Michelle Melcher.
Woo!
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio, and this is Russ Stark Studios.
You can introduce Todd?
Yeah, I guess so.
And his beard separately?
Todd is also with us, as always, and his beard is actually taking up more couch space than... It's getting frightening.
That thing is really out of control.
It is. Is your son scared of it?
He hasn't said anything.
When I was a little kid, I was scared of people with beards.
Yeah, and rightly so, right?
And his would really top that list, don't you think?
Well, I'm not scared of them anymore. I mean, Brian's kind of got a beard.
But is it like a deviant beard?
No, or... that would scare me when I was a kid. It's just something about the beard.
Beard, yeah.
Like Brutus.
Brutus
was scary.
Right? Brutus/Bluto.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought you were the barber Bruce. The barber Beefcake. I thought you were talking about.
No.
What was the difference? They were the same guy.
It was the same. We're talking old school Popeye where it was Brutus just turned into Bluto one day, right?
Mm. I mean, it was the other way around. Bluto, I think, came first, right?
We'll have to Google that and get on that. We'll check that out later. We were talking about motorcycles before we went on air. And, of course, Rush, you're an old-school motorcycle person, right?
Fanatic, I think.
Dirt bike.
I'm sorry. Yeah. But we were talking about some motorcycles. And, Michelle, you are a motorcycle enthusiast.
Yeah, I guess so.
What do you say? I'm a rider? I'm a motorcycler?
I'm not really an enthusiast because I don't know how to, fix a motorcycle. And I figure, if you really... If you're an enthusiast, you would at least know how to wrench on it or something. I take it to the shop.
Would you ever go to Sturgis?
No.
Oh. Well,
no.
Todd, Sturgis, yes or no?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of flashing that goes on there, right?
Yeah, but it's not good looking flashing.
I don't know if this is true or not, but if one biker asks another biker that if he can see his wife or girlfriend's chest, I believe the credo or the code of motorcycling is that they have to comply.
I don't know.
And how would that work
as
a female?
There's that whole old lady thing. I don't want to be referred to as an old lady. What's that all about?
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
And you're in the vast minority of a female who will ride her own motorcycle. You don't get on the back. Mm. That's not for Michelle.
I used to, but since I learned how to ride, I don't think I'd feel comfortable on the back. Now I'm kind of paranoid. What if we crash? I mean, if you crash, you're probably going to, get hurt anyway because you're on a motorcycle. But it just feels a little more in control because, I'm driving it, I don't know.
It's not your husband race?
Not really. Our bikes are too old. They probably fall apart. We do have a friend that races, though.
Yeah.
He does amateur racing with some, I think they're called Nesba, and he does it up at Pocono Raceway, and, they have,
Nambla, I think they're called.
Nambla? Is it Nambla?
No, Rush. That's
no.
That's a different sport, and there's a pursuer and a victim. Not as much fun.
No, I've never been on a sport bike, so I'm just I like to cruise around. I don't need to go fast.
But what do you call, you're a motorcycle operator. Is that what you'd say?
Rider, but rider seems a little bit...
I like to label people, so give me something. I have to call you.
Rider seems passive, though, doesn't it? You ride the bus.
Right. What about driver? You're a motorcycle driver? Sounds like you have a big dumb wheel.
If you drive it, you would have more of a steering wheel.
So I think I've hit on something. The motorcycle community needs to get together and really find a nice label for themselves, what they are.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the term biker.
Yeah, biker is a connotation.
And also, when you think of biker, you also think of like the unmotorized, the guys
cyclist
in their little spandex. Yeah.
They are the worst human beings on the planet. They really are. Dentists who after work, they leave work early and they have their little chubby paunches hanging over their spandex outfit. They get on the road at 4 o'clock and they just drive in the middle during rush hour, and they're like giving you the hand signs, like, no, I have just as much right on this road as you do,
sir.
More right. And if I have a terminal disease one day, I will on my last few days take out, just gladly hit bikers on, not motorcyclers, bikers.
You should tell your doctors right now about that plan, so that when he delivers the news of your terminal disease, he can sugarcoat it.
Okay.
Good news, Jeff. You can mow down a few bikers.
Okay. Well, we promised we were going to actually get to talking with Michelle about fun stuff like illustration, design, and all that good stuff. And a little more bike talk, because we do seem like we have some expertise in that area. But first, we'll play a song. Russ, we're going to play one of your songs to start off the show.
The Burrows.
The Burrows, Russ.
Yes, that's the right. Burrows from Queens and Brooklyn.
Wow.
And this is a song called Already Won. That was the Burrows with Already Won. What'd you think there, Jeff?
I loved it, Russ. I really did. From the first few notes, I was like, you don't have to sell me on this anymore, Russ. Because, you know, a lot of times, like, Todd will bring in a song. Be like, no, just wait. And, like, 5 minutes later, I'm, like, looking at websites. I'm like, I'm still waiting. No offense to you, Todd. I mean, that's just a different taste in music.
What if? That's short for whatever.
It certainly is. All right, are you done ignoring our guest, Michelle?
I'm just observing.
Okay. We'll get back on game plan right here.
Well, Let's get to Michelle.
Yes.
Michelle, you consider yourself an illustrator or artist? Artist first, illustrator second?
Yeah, so people don't know what an illustrator is. So
most
you
people
know,
don't.
Yeah, most people don't. So I guess, you know, I can be known as an artist, but professionally, I would really like to be known as a professional illustrator.
So tell the listeners the distinction between an illustrator and an artist.
All right. An artist can be anything, really. I mean, you know, a ballet dancer can be an artist. A you know, a sculptor's an artist. A singer's an artist. An illustrator's an illustrator. Illustrator draws pictures. So, you know, I like
that.
Okay.
So you're saying, like, the idea of the arts is all-encompassing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, so.
But, you, Todd, you consider yourself an artist.
Yeah, but I also do ballet. So, yeah, I do sing, and I do ballet. Yeah, I mean, not so well, but. But an illustrator is different than like, a painter or
yeah.
a fine artist.
Well,
or,
you know, a painter could be an illustrator, too. I mean, it really depends on what it is that you're using. I mean, if you look. I don't know, say for instance The New Yorker or something like that. They use a lot of illustration, you know, pictures that tell stories, things yeah. like that. I mean, there's all kinds of different illustration. There's children's books, there's the editorial stuff that you see in the magazine, which is what I'm trying to gear most of my stuff towards.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, you know, there's book cover illustration, there's it's everywhere if you look around.
Yeah, design, you know? Graphic design and illustration. I mean, in my imagination, and this could be off, but the difference between like someone who would consider themselves a painter or a fine artist mm-hmm. compared to an illustrator or a graphic designer is that there's a gig, there's an assignment for
yeah.
the illustrator. So
yeah.
instead of, you know, walking around and looking for inspiration, the inspiration is thrust upon you. You know,
yeah.
this is what we need to communicate.
Yeah.
And it can be, sometimes it can be loose and ambiguous, and sometimes it can be very, you know, if you have a client that has a really clear picture in their head,
yeah.
you know, but whatever the case is, you have a very clear starting point, which is usually someone else's need for
yeah.
a picture or an image.
Yeah.
And then you pick up the torch.
Yeah. And then it's your job to kind of decipher what it is that they want and come up with the concepts that to show them. And, you know, for instance, like I'll usually come up with about they'll come to me with an idea and I'll come up with about three different concepts and you know, present that to them. And then they'll kind of pick what they like or tell me what they don't like and, you know, what they would like to see. And then we kind of go from there.
Yeah.
And,
do you get frustrated? Like, for me, personally, I've taken a lot of design jobs and a number of them have ended with me either emailing or saying to them, it sounds like you have a very clear idea as to what you want. Why don't you do it? And that's, and I think, you know, a pretty good litmus test is when to take a job, whether or not you want to take a job, is if they
yeah.
want you as an artist or they need an artist. Like, someone who wants an artist is
yeah.
someone that you're eventually going to have an argument with. Someone who
yeah.
wants Michelle to illustrate this because
yeah.
they've seen
yeah.
Michelle's work,
yeah.
then
yeah.
I think that's...
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so,
that's a good point.
So that being said, so first of all, anybody can go check out Michelle's art at michellemelcher.com and we'll have that...
Michelle
link.
With one L.
Right, with
one L.
L.
We'll have no extraneous L's in this.
The proud,
name.
The one L's.
We'll have that link up on the site. So as somebody who doesn't know that much about art, I would say it looks to me like some of your signature stuff is
mm-hmm.
like the bees that you do. And the way that you draw animals is unlike I've seen. it's a way that I haven't seen other people draw animals in particular, right? So like one of my favorites is that one with the skeleton guy with the guitar
yeah,
and all
yeah.
that kind of stuff, which has a real like Grateful Dead album cover feel.
Yeah, kind of.
You know,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the ones with the bees or the bunny like licking the candy cane and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Does
like,
it scare you?
It does frighten
a little
me.
Big,
but I think,
big bodies and little heads.
Is that what it, that's the secret?
Yeah. Big bodies, little heads. Big bodies, little limbs and little eyes.
It's like the anti-caricature.
Yeah, it's kind of like if it has a big body and a little head, it's cute.
I like
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's certainly like, you know, the celebrity, you know, the illustrations of them. But and I always come back to what I don't know that you would even consider illustration. I don't know. But like the watercolors that you've done, they look so much like photographs to me.
Oh, okay.
I think they're amazing.
Like the diners and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I would consider like my artist stuff.
Okay.
You know, like if like my fine art stuff, like a painter.
Right.
Because I do like to do art. Like I like to do paintings and stuff. But it's, you know, that kind of stuff will go in galleries or whatever, but it's kind of like, you know, I need something that will pay the bills.
Now, why wouldn't you approach an assignment from, you know, and we've seen your work in Philadelphia Weekly and celebrity and you wish you knew, right? So if you were given an assignment from somebody like that, why wouldn't you approach it in the same way? Like, is it does it take too long to do a watercolor for a graphic design gig?
Yeah, that's a lot of it, too. Like, sometimes I'm working on deadlines that are, like, no lie, like, the next day. I mean, I've had deadlines where, you know, they'd be like, okay, well, we need this in, say, you know, a week to 10 days or a two-week turnaround time. And then other times they're like, well, can you have sketches by, you know, tomorrow night? And then maybe, by Monday we could see a finished. And I mean, a lot of the times with editorial stuff, because I guess like they're printing deadlines and things, you really have that turnaround and you kind of gotta find a style, I guess, that's quick.
That's efficient.
Yeah, that's efficient.
Like a 1L Michelle kind
of
efficiency.
Yeah, exactly.
Get right down to brass tacks. Let's get to the business of this.
With the painting stuff, like, you know, I probably could pull an all-nighter and get something done, but with the whole, like, going back and forth with revisions and, you know, sketches and stuff, it
now,
just...
Now, do you work, like old school, or do you use Illustrator, or... Like,
it's old school.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, I'll do sketches on tracing paper, and then I'll you know, place them together in Photoshop or something if I'm too lazy to keep tracing.
Gotcha.
I'll place them together just to show placement or whatever to the client. And then when I get the okay, then it's all old school from there. I like the whole drawing thing.
Yeah.
And
have you ever drawn with a graphics tablet?
With a what?
With a graphics tablet.
Oh, like a Wacom tablet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when I first got a computer, like back in the late 90s, I tried it and it just... I wasn't very good at it. I'm old school about what I do. Uh-huh. So.
I'm looking at your website. Is this Mike Rowe with the cow?
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Dirty Job Guy?
That is so great. That really encapsulates that show.
I love that show.
I love that. He's a really interesting guy, too. Like, he's a really funny you have to be self-deprecating if you're sticking your hand up animals' anuses, you know, half the time.
He's actually really, he's very, very bright. He was
really
on the
smart
cover
guy.
Of, I think, Inc. magazine.
Oh, really?
Or either that or Fast Company or something.
Because
basically he was the one who came up with that idea for that show. And it's you know, he makes millions off of it.
Yeah.
Or maybe he doesn't make millions off of the show, but he has kind of turned himself into a commodity. So companies bring him in to talk to them
Ford
and things
people.
Like that. Yeah, right. Ford loves
it. He does all
him.
The Ford trucks and stuff.
Well, you ever listen his voice, like all Shark Week, like every one of those shows, oh, that's him.
And the Deadliest Catch, too.
Yeah, he does all the voiceovers for all that stuff.
Yeah.
And
he's not doing Ghost Hunters, too, is he?
I think
he does, like, the commercials.
He does the commercials for him. Yeah, he does
I'm a
all
dork and
the,
I watch Ghost Hunters.
So. Oh, yeah, are we going to talk about Ghost Hunters? We're going to play
some. I love Ghost Hunters.
Because I want to talk
it's
about
on
Ghost
tonight.
Hunters. Okay.
Yes.
All right, we're going to come back with Ghost Hunters because I have some gripes.
Uh-oh.
And some props. I mean, I'm not going to... We're going to play a song. I'm going to play one of my songs, Ross. What do you think about that?
I love it, Jeff.
Awesome. It is a band Ghosty out of Lawrence, Kansas.
Yes.
And this is You Are a Big Screen off their new album, which is coming out May 20th, called Answers. Traded under and a waste of cheating. People, we're back with our author Russ Stark, and of course illustrator, award-winning illustrator. I said author. Your new book.
Oh, right.
Spreadsheeting with Russ.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Don't downplay it. Number 147 on the Amazon spreadsheet book charts. And of course, Michelle Melcher is with us. Award-winning, I may add. Correct.
Yeah.
You just won a Philadelphia Addy Award.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I didn't even know it.
What was that for?
It was for the Philly Roller Girls, actually.
Ah.
I was working with a Star Group. They're an agency downtown, and the art director that was there was doing a whole campaign for the Philly Roller Girls. And I've done work for the Philly Roller Girls before, like posters and stuff for their bouts. And they're an interesting bunch.
How fun is that, though? Because it's always good for, like, a designer or, like, you know, I'm a designer, and when I get, like, something you just know has good photography or just a good, you know, basic premise,
mm-hmm.
it's so much better than, hey, Jeff, all right, the website you're going to be designing is for proctology instruments. And you're like, all right.
What an incredible subject, right?
Right. And so you're like, all right, this isn't going to be any good. But then when you're like, oh, you're going to work with the Philly Roller Girls. So you know you have this super cool, fun, you know, subject matter.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, you can just take it anywhere.
For the listeners outside of Philadelphia, this is our local roller derby organization, right?
Well, I think most people know. You think Philadelphia, you think of roller girls.
Cheesesteaks and roller girls, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a competition?
Yes, I have.
It's real, right? Like, it's not like professional wrestling.
Oh,
it's
they kick
it's a real
some
deal.
Butt.
Yeah, I gotta get
and
out
it's,
to see that.
Well, actually, Ghost of Corn will be... Ghost of Corn Apparel will be at there's a big thing, a two-day event coming up, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know
in
if
April,
they did the poster for it or not, but it's like,
it's the
championship. No, there's like, listen to this.
Okay.
We'll have to go to the website and get the information, more information, but it's a two-day event. There's like 10 bouts during the day and like two or three championship bouts at night. There is an accompanying pool party and barbecue.
Whoa.
And there are vendors, Ghost of Corn Apparel being one, selling, you know, clothing and artwork and handmade things. So,
is this at your house?
How do you not go to that?
I don't
know. Ridiculous. If you don't go to that, you don't have a car. That's the only acceptable answer.
When is it?
Or a bike. You know, you bikers and unicyclists. Let's get back. Like, speaking of getting down to brass tacks, as you mentioned before. Oh, no, Todd, I'm sorry.
I have the information if anyone is interested in going to the giant roller derby extravaganza.
Keep plugging your wares.
Oh, no. You know what? Don't buy a shirt, as a matter of fact. Just go for the barbecue and the pool party, because I cannot understand how you'd miss this event.
Well, it's
June 21st and June 22nd, the East Coast Derby Extravaganza.
You can get that at PhiladelphiaRollerGirls.com. What we're looking at here?
Yeah, okay. The East Coast Derby Extravaganza.
All right, now that you've done that, can you go find out?
I know who did that poster, I bet. I bet that's Jay Ryan. We'll look that up. That's his style.
Can you please find out the relationship between Bluto and Brutus?
Find out who did that poster.
Yep. Maybe they were brothers.
They could be.
Find a call on Wikipedia or something and find that out.
Okay. Philadelphia Roller Girls. And check if that's Jay Ryan work. If not, he has a lawsuit that's very close to his work. Anyway, we're back. Use Wigs Radio Podcast 36. And of course, we brought Michelle in specifically to discuss ghost hunters.
Woohoo!
All right, here's my problem with these two plumbers.
Okay.
Because they are plumbers by
trade.
They
are plumbers.
They are plumbers. And they have their little crack team plumbing. I like the show.
Uh-huh.
And I think the whole idea of it's great. But they never actually... Here's how, every show ends the same way.
Yes, might have gotten away with it, too. If it wasn't for these blasted kids and their dog.
Okay, we did everything. We spent all night, all weekend in your haunted boat or your haunted castle. And we set up things, and we thought we saw something, but it wasn't a ghost. We thought we heard something, it wasn't a ghost. So you might have a ghost, you might not. See ya. Come on. It's never
well,
like,
some,
we caught
sometimes.
A ghost.
Well, you know what?
Why, right?
I think if you watch tonight, they're actually exploring Gettysburg.
Okay.
And, you know, Gettysburg
yeah,
is
yeah,
supposedly,
yeah.
like, really haunted.
Super
or whatever,
haunted.
So.
Well, watch. Oh, wait. Yeah. Now, Michelle, watch Mr. Killjoy come in.
I was just going to say, there's no such thing as ghosts. That's why they don't actually catch ghosts for the same reason they don't catch unicorns and they don't catch trolls and elves. I mean, I hate to rain on your parade, but...
Todd, these ghost hunters actually walk around with these big nets and they're just looking to actually capture ghosts.
Did they ever do it at Eastern State?
Yeah.
That's
yes.
Did,
yeah.
And what was the verdict?
They think it's haunted.
Well, they...
Do they?
I mean, I'm of course, just being dramatic. They do get a lot of stuff and, like... You know, they have their heat sensors,
yeah.
you know, and like that. And like, I'm very cold right now.
Yeah.
The one I
That's
saw when they were in the Scottish castle or English castle, where the one guy, like, fell down and, like, someone brushed against him and he got hurt. And one guy, it was like, they were playing to the camera a little bit. But now they have Ghost Hunters International.
Yeah.
And they have Penn State. Did you know our own
Penn
State?
Yeah, yeah.
There's this one super ghost geek who started, like, paranormal studies at...
Paranormal State.
Paranormal State is the name of the show. And it's not good. I watch it. It's so overdone, overdramatic. Like,
yeah.
they have all, like... It's just overproduced. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they're really trying hard to, like, make it more of, like, a movie than an actual, like, low-key documentary.
Right. Well, what was the name of that guy... Maybe you know his name. He was like in his, I guess, like early 50s, like kind of salt and pepper hair, and he had his own TV show where he would get possessed.
What?
Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Keep going.
Does it not ring a bell?
No.
And like, I mean, obviously
he would get possessed.
Yeah, like they would go in places that he thought were haunted or whatever.
So he was like a medium.
Okay.
So he was like a medium, yeah. And
okay.
they would purposely go in these places, and he claimed that he was like. You know, yeah, like a receptacle or something.
Is this
right.
now or is this
no,
like...
No, this was like 5 years ago maybe. I think his name, I could probably look him up.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was proven to be, obviously...
Oh, you don't say, really?
he was proven to, like, basically, he was doing things when the cameras were on only.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
he would, like, get possessed. And there's these videos of him, like, freaking out.
Oh,
doing
I gotta
crazy
see that.
Stuff. I'll find his name while you guys continue.
I actually made some headway in the Bluto Brutus issue.
Okay.
Which is what it's called.
I'll trap that rat and have the dame for myself.
It's called the Bluto-Brutus issue.
After the theatrical Popeye cartoon series went into production in 57, Bluto's name was changed to Brutus because it was wrongly believed that Paramount Pictures, distributors of the Fleischer Studios, later famous Studios cartoons, owned the rights to the name Bluto. It also goes on to say that one of the distinctions being is that the earlier, the Bluto... Of days of old was actually a fellow sailor and, you know, kind of colleague or peer of Popeye's, whereas later he was just portrayed when he makes the change to Brutus as just kind of a generic villain.
Potential but rapist of olive oil.
My favorite part, though, is that before
he
had a name...
He would always carry
her off. Yeah, and
it's
yeah,
over his
shoulder,
horrible,
yeah.
right?
Horribly,
kicking
like...
Kicking and screaming, yeah.
Right.
He's never arrested or incarcerated for this, but his name in the strip before he even made it to the small screen or the big screen was The Big Guy Who Hates Popeye or Mean Man.
Mean man.
That's what he's referred to in the strip.
Written by 4-year-old.
Give me a second. Look at
Isn't
the
that great?
That is great.
His beard did scare me when I was a kid, though.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
We gotta play some music, but the guy's name who I'm talking about, his name is Derek Acora.
Oh, yeah.
So DerekAcorah. We'll put a link up to him. There's like all these like videos of him on YouTube getting possessed and doing all this. But I mean, you know, Todd would say, for obvious reasons, has been proven to be a fraud.
Yeah.
Who's the guy, Yuri Geller, who bends the spoon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of thing. Like, they've kind of proven that he...
Whatever happened to that dude, I think
John
was,
Edwards?
Yeah, whatever happened to him?
He ran for president.
Exactly.
No, different guy. He still has a...
Does he still have his show?
I think he still has
a
show in syndication.
That is a crime.
He still talks to dead people. He's never been disproven. And he's never been discredited.
Like, I've only seen it a couple of times, and I don't know.
He actually has. I can send you the article. As a matter of fact, we can post it on UseWigs.
Really?
Where I believe James Randi of the Randi Foundation went after him. Yeah.
Is that one of your skeptic friends, James Randi?
He is, actually. He's like the king skeptic. And I believe they found his producers, how they question the people on their way in or when they apply for tickets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they do like the internet.
Oh, that was that guy.
Yeah.
All right, let's play some tunes.
All right, we're going to play. How about our Day Trotter song of the show? And Todd, I believe we said we were going to play 4th of July.
4th of July, and the song's called
I Don't Want to Lose You. Is that the song we're talking about?
I Don't Want to Lose You.
Still in the thunder, Jeff.
Well, someone didn't look too prepared.
Casey Kasem, it is the caesura of Casey Kasem from Jessica Peter.
We're gonna do a long distance dedication to a little girl who asked us to play this song about her dead kitty. It's that kind of stilted. Uh-huh. You're doing it.
But I'd like to turn our attention back to our guest in the studio here, because I did about 8-9 hours of show prep, and I was coming through your website. And I came across your Twittering.
Uh-huh.
And this is something that we have talked about in the past and has basically eluded all three of us, is the interest in Twittering or you know, tuning into a Twitter. It seems to me like voyeurism is to exhibitionism as internet stalking is to Twittering.
Okay.
What is the
allure of Twitter?
What is the allure? Like, you know, for instance, tell me a little bit about when on March 24th at 1:29 you had a marshmallow egg.
Oh, marshmallow eggy time.
Well, tell me about it.
I don't know. I was just eating a marshmallow egg.
That's all there was to be said about
it. It's like crack, you know?
Yeah,
it's like
the marshmallow egg or Twittering?
Twitter.
Uh-huh.
I got in a good back and forth about somebody. I post on Newswigs. I just said, hey, everybody, you heard about Twittering? if you're Twittering, you're an a-hole. Basically, I said, the only time you really need to give people updates is if you're defusing a bomb, and you really have to get that information over, and you're trying to save someone's life. If not, no one gives a flying F what you're doing. Yeah. All right, but listen,
But it's fun.
It is fun.
She has a bunch of people. I saw like 25 people who are subscribed to that.
No, and I'm like, why are these people following
me?
I talk about eating potatoes.
Yeah, I read about that.
Do you know them all?
No.
No,
some of them I do, but some of these people.
We're looking out for you.
Yeah.
All right, well, here's the deal. I get into some heated fights when I post something and I get nasty emails. And they're like, you don't understand. It's a new technology. I'm like, all right, I understand a lot about new technology because I spend about 12 hours on a computer. And he's like, let's just say someone's Twitter. I go, the thing is, you give me scant amount of information that it means nothing. Why don't you think about something, research it, post it, and write it well? That's what the web should be for. But because you're Twittering and all you other people are just clogging up the tubes with this nonsense. And he's like, well, what if I Twitter and I just write, hey, check out this link. And then I give you a link to something that is of substance. I said, fine. And I said, why don't you go back and look at all the Twitters and see how many actually do that? And he's like, well, okay, but it'll maybe get to that eventually. So, you know, we kind of had that back and forth. But it is a fun thing that people like to do. I was at a design conference just recently.
And opinionated on Twittering.
And this Uber designer's up there going, and now we must talk about Twittering, which is becoming very popular. How many of you are Twittering now? And like every fat comic book nerd guy, excuse me, I am Twittering what you just said right now to everyone around the room. Who got my Twitter? And they're like, I got your Twitter, CB409. I'm like, oh, Christ. Oh, I'm like, stop it.
So they're Twittering about Twittering.
Yes,
which
just
like causes this crazy loop.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun.
So do you know the people, the 25 or 30 people that are following your every move? And does that, it doesn't, obviously doesn't freak you out. Like, it satisfy?
It is kind of stalkerish, I guess. Like, if you had some, like, wacko or something. Yeah. It's like, oh, now they're eating potatoes.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they're
but
going
by
to Kmart.
It's like leaving the windows open and living your life. You know, I mean,
yeah,
by Twittering, you're giving them the information.
I guess if somebody wants to stalk you bad enough, they're going to find a way to do it.
Right.
Anyway.
True. So if you Twitter, then they stay at their own house and read it online, as opposed to camp out in your tree.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess so.
So maybe this is just, so Twittering is actually a good idea because like you're kind of heading off the stalker at the pass. You're like, you know what? From the comfort of your own home, stalker, you can know when I eat my cream-filled egg.
Stalker, don't bother putting on your parka and galoshes. I'm going to do all the legwork for you.
I'm going to go home and Twitter about this.
Well, I saw we were actually mentioned The tonight's interview was Twitter.
And I Twittered.
So hold, you keep Twittering, Michelle.
Don't worry, I will.
That's so quick. Maybe I was a little rushed, quick to judge. You can drop in www.uswigsradio.com.
I did, actually.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. And I Twittered the beer commercial, too.
See, that's of substance. See, that's stuff that you should be Twittering about. Uh-huh. Link to quality, well-written posts.
But all the, and just to play devil's advocate, because I don't understand Twitter.
The movie?
No.
Oh, because we don't have time. That's
say,
like 2 hours long.
Some people could say podcasting was a little bit kind of gratuitous. And, you know, like, you know, why don't the three of us just get together and have a conversation at a diner?
Right.
But instead, we record it and we publish it and we put it out there for people to listen
because
to.
Because we're awesome.
Well, that's true.
Actually, one of my friends emailed me and was like, what's a podcast?
Yeah, well, we get that a lot.
But I guess probably both of them kind of scratch a similar itch in which, you know, you like, you want to connect with people. You want to make your mark.
Yes.
You know, sometimes.
Yeah. Todd, podcasting's on the very lowest rung of the totem pole. I'm just trying to find other people involved in technology underneath us. I think Twittering's just right below.
One thing I do have to say about Twitter is, I do have a lot of people that follow me and stuff.
Uh-oh.
And I do tend to follow, well, I mean, of course I follow my friends or whatever, but I do tend to follow more the people that are, you know, interested in illustration and art and design and stuff like that. Like, I'll have people that'll be like, oh, you know, hi, I have a spam website or whatever.
Right,
I don't really like follow that, you know. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, you'll get like the odd followers.
Do you subscribe to other people's Twitters and
mostly artists?
Uh-huh.
Well, friends and artists. Other people, like, I really kind of don't, just because like
I'm
looking to connect with more art people.
Uh-huh.
And like, because I like looking at their websites, I like looking at their
stuff. But that's blogging is kind of different. That's where you might see them post like images of their artwork.
Oh yeah,
But Twittering, you know, is kind of like the minuscule details between the blog posts. Like, like, here is something of consequence, and let me blog about it.
Twittering looks like an IM back and forth.
So what does it mean to subscribe basically to it?
Does it email to you, or does it...
It'll, like, say, for instance, I have my Twitter or whatever. I'll get a thing in my Gmail that'll say, so-and-so is now following you on Twitter. You can check out their Twitter. And you click on their link, and it tells you about them, and it has a link to their website if they have a website or whatever. And you can look at them, and then you can decide whether or not you want to follow them or not. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to follow them, you don't have to.
So following somebody else's Twitter, what is it? Does it email you when they do updates or IM you or something?
If you want that feature.
You can have
can turn it off, too, because otherwise you'd be getting something every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
You know?
That would be wild. Like, you get emails and about a person taking a nap.
Yeah, I don't get emails. I just get it on the Twitter thing. But some people, I think they get it on their phone.
Yeah, but I have to say, like, as I began to read through Michelle's Twitter, and I found myself kind of captivated. Like, it's almost like you're reading a story that's not, that you know isn't going anywhere. You know, like, like when you're reading a book and sometimes the author will, like, put in some part of the day, you know, like the person woke up and did that, and they might describe something fairly vividly. But, you know, at least it's headed somewhere. Like, this is that, all that great stuff, or not so great stuff of a book.
It's very James Joyce.
But yeah, there's not going to be...
You're right, yeah.
There's not going to be an explosion or
a day of walking through a Dublin neighborhood.
Yeah. I found myself... I continued to read through, and I thought, well, I wonder what she did that day.
I ate a lot of potatoes.
I think we just came full circle. Twittering, it's good for some people, not good for others. Is that how we'll leave it?
Especially not for those that have jitterbugs in their pocket.
Hey.
What is that thing, anyway? I saw a commercial for it once.
It's like a
cell phone with really big buttons.
It's great.
I like the jitterbug. None of that fancy dancing stuff.
Actually, I shouldn't say jitterbug in your pocket. It's really a jitterbug in your knapsack.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to play a song right now, and we'll get back to no more talk about jitterbug. And we have more to talk with Michelle about. But let's play some Writer, Russ, one of your bands.
Don't you wake up.
With Don't Wake the Sun.
That was pretty good too, Russ. I got it. You were 2 for 2 tonight with your song selection.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with these picks. All right. So, didn't you mention on your website that you like amusement parks or old
ones?
Oh, yeah. I love them.
Awesome photographs.
I love old ones.
Yeah. So that's what I was
going to
ask you
about.
So, number one, living where you live right mm-hmm. here, you have to be fascinated with the Willow Grove Park stuff, right?
Yeah, totally. You know there's somebody around here that's got to have some old ride in their garage or in their basement
right.
or like something. We were down at Ocean City, this is a couple years ago, and there's some place on the boardwalk, I forget what it is. But
Wonderland Pier?
No, down in Ocean City. I don't know.
Ocean City, New Jersey?
Yeah, Ocean City, New Jersey. And there was like a little like thrift shop there or something. And they had, you know those old like felt like flyer? Not like, they're like shaped like a triangle, like a flag.
Yeah.
They had one for when Willow Grove Park, after it was Willow Grove Park for, I think, for 2 years or something, it was called Six Gun Territory.
Yeah.
Like, they tried to make it Western themed. And I found that, and I bought that because I was like,
that's
fantastic. Cool.
Well, all these houses were built as bungalows
yeah.
for people who visited.
Yeah, and the trolley tracks were up there at the top of the street. So
you're saying this, where we are right now, this entire neighborhood was just kind of an annex for...
It was like summer
for
home.
For an amusement park?
It was
where carnies lived? Like Lobster Boy?
No, it was I guess people would come from the city or whatever, and they would ride the trolley out.
Yeah, they actually did it as an attraction to get people to ride the rail lines out here. And like this house in particular, when it was built, there was, no heat or anything like that. It was a summer bungalow that was meant for people who came out here to go to Willow Grove Park.
Hmm. Yeah, see, that's cool. Our house is a little newer, so ours was built in the 50s.
Okay.
So it's not as cool.
So
I don't know, the one next to us is cool.
Would you recommend any places in particular, like if you like old amusement parks with character?
Yeah, definitely. Nobles. I don't know if it's...
With a K? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Knoebels or Knoebels.
Yeah.
That place is really cool. They have great bumper cars. And they
How about
have,
Coney Island? You've been...
Yes. We went to the Mermaid Parade about 2 years ago. I think they're actually having problems. Like, I think they're trying to save Coney Island or whatever because I think developers are buying it. And I don't know if they want to tear it down and
like
put
condos,
up
condominiums,
or what.
I remember there were a lot of really interesting artists, like alternative artists working nowadays that were like commissioned to do a series of signs for the boardwalk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like Shepard Fairey and like Shag
cool.
and all the. I mean, that type of artist. I don't know if those guys in particular, but like a lot of the juxtapose artists had made contributions for signs and custom painting on the. On the outside of a lot of the stands.
But for Coney Island?
Yeah, for Coney Island,
Now, are you into, which I find fascinating, there's a couple websites about it, like defunct amusement parks that have gone to pot. And it's so scary.
Totally. When I was a little kid, I don't know where it was, but my dad had a hunting cabin up in northern Pennsylvania. I guess it's kind of up near Jersey City or something. And I don't remember how to get up there because I haven't been up there in like 20, 25 years. But there used to be an amusement park we would drive by, and I thought it was so scary because there was a Ferris wheel, and it didn't have the seats on it, and it was just like out there, you know?
Yeah.
And there is the roller coaster with the weeds growing
through
and stuff.
That just kills me because it's just that contrast of once the happiest place on earth is now completely ignored.
Yeah.
It's like stale fun.
It's
not even stale fun. It's dead fun.
Yeah.
It's
place,
like when fun dies.
What was that place in Bristol? It was like on an island in the middle of the river, and it burned down.
Oh, really? No, I don't know about that.
Have you heard of
that?
No,
That
one of the guys that I work with grew up in Bristol, and he was telling me about that.
Don't be afraid to give Carl a shout out.
Okay, Carl White,
the mayor of Bristol.
but he was saying it was on an island in the middle of Delaware, like right by one of the bridges, and it burned down. It was a whole amusement park that you actually... I don't think you took a ferry. I forget how you got there.
Well, I'll put some links up on the site once this
it was called
podcast...
There used to be a website. I don't know if it still exists because I haven't looked at it in a long time, but I think it was called, like, Defunct Parks or defunctamusementparks.com.
That's probably the one. Awesome. It's really freaky.
Do you guys remember the old Dorney Park with the zoo and everything?
No.
And it used to have a zoo?
There was a Dorney Park before the...
Well, where Dorney Park is now, like, when I was a little kid, every summer we would go to Dorney Park, and they used to have a zoo there, and they had seals, and they had, like, alligators and stuff, and I remember, this is kind of funny, they had, like, this big water, lake thing, and they would give you little Dixie cups of raw fish that you could throw to the seals.
Yeah.
Now, it's like... They would never do that these days.
No.
But it's like little kids walking around with raw fish.
Yeah.
And I remember just like...
That's great. Were you torn? Like, should I keep it? Or should
no,
I
just remember
seals.
Throwing it to the yeah. seals and the seals making these awful barking noises and then being like, man, my hands really stink.
You're like, Mommy, Joey went to eat his french fries but accidentally ate out of the chum cup.
The chum.
Oh, that's not a french fry, Joey. That's chum.
Yeah. Imagine if you're a seal and you end up in Allentown. Yeah. You're like, what was you
thinking?
Yeah. Where am I?
Anyway, that's a perfect seg to our next song, which, let me see here. The next song is one of mine. Now, this is a new band called The Night Marchers. This is John Speedo Rise, or Reese, from Rocket from the Crypt fame, his new band, Night Marchers. And this is Whose Lady Are You? Newswigs Radio, we're back. Podcast 46. That was The Night Marchers with Whose Lady Are You from their upcoming album, See You in Magic, out April 22nd. and go to MySpace/TheNightMarchers. Getting back to, let's do some of our favorite, you know, things we like to do, such as what you're listening to. We haven't done that in a while, guys, where we all kind of... Michelle, what are you listening to now? When you're sitting there drawing, you're illustrating, you're artisting.
You want to know what I'm listening to, like, right now? It's kind of embarrassing.
When you're not Twittering, what are you listening to?
This weekend was... This is really embarrassing because I was like punk. Better. I was like punk rock kid, but I've been listening to Journey.
Which album?
Escape.
Escape's good.
I liked it when I was a really little
what
kid.
What are you listening to, Todd? Anything?
The new Rockin' Tours.
Oh, you jerk.
Don't you owe me? And the
is
new,
it any good?
Yeah, it is very
Does
good.
Does he need to put out an album every 6 months because he's so goddamn afraid of becoming irrelevant like he should be?
Well, how about the new management MGMT extended play?
Any good?
Yes,
they're
very good.
They're always spoke in the same breath as the little dandies from Columbia, New York, who we Vampire
Weekend.
Yeah.
Well, management, it's a pretty good album.
Yeah,
okay. I don't know if it's an album; it's an EP. It's got like 5 or 6 tracks. Mm, gotcha. Listen and enjoy it.
Rugs.
I've been listening to a lot of Langhorn Slim in anticipation of our interview with him this Friday. And I've also been listening to the new L1011, which is
they're
excellent.
Great. Fantastic. I just iPodded that, and I was running with it, and it's just a...
Jeffy, what are you listening to?
Todd and I were discussing this earlier. There is a band called The Wigs, you know, mm-hmm. W-H-I-G-S. And like a couple months back, someone in a post said something about, oh, I'm listening to The Wigs. I'm like, sweet, I love Afghan Wigs. They're like, no, old man. There's a new band called The Wigs. And I was like, oh, F them. I don't even want to hear about them. But then that song, Right Hand on My Heart,
it's
have you
very
heard that?
Good.
It is like just so good. So super catchy.
Super. Just leave it at that.
All right. Yeah, it's catchy. So super. Anyway, that's what I'm listening to, and a lot of kids' music.
Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden. What's your favorite Iron Maiden?
The Number of the Beast.
666. I'm a huge Iron Maiden fan.
Love them.
Oh,
only with Bruce Dickinson, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, they only put out 3 albums, I think. Before he came in.
And then Phil Collins.
Phil Collins took over.
Phil Collins fronted them for a while, right?
Their first singer was that real gravelly guy, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what that guy's name was.
He wasn't he wasn't really a singer. He was more of a barker.
They like, and when they do the anthologies, they kind of do like one
song to
throw him a
And
bone.
Bruce Dickinson is pipes. That guy can sing.
Yeah.
He's freaking awesome.
He also flies airplanes.
Oh, he does a lot. He's one of those
He's like soccer player airplane guy.
Does
he fence too?
Eaters in his basement.
He's
nuts. Can you imagine like going somewhere and being on a plane and like it's like him?
Oh, he's fantastic. They're one of those bands that you know, people always make fun of heavy metal and blah, blah, blah. You know, like Judas Priest, love them or hate them, stuff like that. Iron Maiden was frigging awesome. Musically, granted, most of their songs are just, you know, mythological based. But when I was young, like...
But that's when heavy metal was good.
I know, it was great. Like, I learned about... I got into mythology because I'm, like, listening to Flight of Icarus by Iron Maiden. I'm like, that's right, fly up to the sun, touch the sky. And then I'm like, what is this about? And then you go and read about a mythology.
What was the name of the big dancing skeleton guy? Eddie?
Eddie.
Yeah.
Eddie the corpse.
It wasn't a dancing skeleton.
He didn't dance, for Christ's sake.
Eddie did not dance.
Like,
what do you think? He's like, no, like the Grateful Dead skeleton.
I did like a little soft shoe.
Dude, he menaced. Eddie menaced. He did not dance.
All right.
Todd, do you have an announcement for Usewigs Radio?
Well, this is something that we've talked about, I believe, if not in one, maybe two podcasts prior.
Probably many podcasts.
Competitive eating.
Oh, yes.
I will be competing in my first competitive eating competition.
What will you be?
I just used the derivatives of the word compete 3 different times. I'll be competing in a wing eating competition this upcoming week. Now, it's kind of a benefit for our school, teachers from one school versus the other middle school and some high school students. So I'm all geared up. And I will come back with a full report on the competitive eating.
Excellent.
Are you going to shave? Because your beard will just be a mess. Big flavor saver.
I think
sauce.
I can actually hide like 4 or 5 extra wings to get credit for.
Is it
in the
based
beard.
On speed or volume?
There are 2 rounds, and I believe they are timed, and it's like total wings eaten. And in preparation, I've been trying to get into the heads of the other competitors. You know what I mean? Like talking all kinds of trash.
Yeah,
I bought. I have a costume ready because I think it's all. You know, it's all about.
It is.
It's all about the persona.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I'll be the Wingador, and I have...
No, you can't be a Wingador.
Why?
Because he's the top guy in Philadelphia, the El Wingador.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, you can rip him off. That's
you
great.
You really don't know that? You just came up with that?
Todd doesn't...
It just, maybe subconsciously. Yeah. But I did, I bought, like, I have a mask. Does he wear a mask?
Yes. Like no, he doesn't.
Like a Mexican wrestling mask?
How can you wear a mask?
I have a luchador mask. Yeah. I have the singlet.
That's
I have
good.
A cape. And arm pads.
So you are going to have to shave that beard off to get that mask on.
Right. No. I specifically bought one from eBay that has a giant opening for the beard. But I really didn't know the Wingador was, so I had to go back to the wrong Wingador. The El Wingador?
Yeah, you can think of many disgusting meat-based. I'm not into
meat-based.
Aren't you afraid you're going to throw up?
Oh, I probably will throw up. Although, I haven't thrown up for like 13 years.
What's the most of those disgusting little animals you've eaten?
I can eat a ton of them.
I have a fear.
I think I'll just run out of time. I won't get full.
Wow.
You know, my belly is like a chicken mortuary.
Do you think...
You know?
Do you think...
That's very pleasant.
You will... Todd, do you think there's a possibility that you will overeat and find yourself so into it that you will turn into the fat little boy you once were? And become Fat Todd the adult.
No, I think, you know, you have to be a real athlete to be a competitive eater. It's not just like sitting around leisurely eating. I mean, you have to be at the top of your game.
All right, Jeff, we got to do a lightning round of shouts.
Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray!
Hooray!
We'll start with Russ and then go to Michelle, so Michelle has time to think about
it. Okay, so I have to shout out again, if you haven't been keeping up with Mike Birbiglia's website with his Secret Public
Journal. Awesome. Yeah.
The last couple entries are friggin' hysterical.
Yeah,
he's awesome. And I don't know how recent his last CD came out, but Secret Public Journal Live is now out on CD.
His new one is What I Should Have Said Was Nothing.
Oh, so there's even a new one.
It's a Comedy Central special.
I haven't heard that one yet.
It's fantastic.
But he's just so worth support because he's great.
Michelle.
All right.
Promote away.
All right, there's two things. Primer. Brian's my husband.
Okay.
His agency, they just got a space in Hatboro. They're calling it the Micro Studio.
Yeah, I saw photographs of you.
Yeah, we're doing the demolition. they're putting in, I think they're putting in the floor this weekend. It might even be tomorrow because I know that they're, you know, cleaning it up and all this stuff. But they're going to have their studio there, and then they're going to have, I think, a gallery also.
And what is their main business?
They do graphic design.
Graphic design.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Primer Inc.
Primerinc.com, would that be?
Yes. And also, this is just something that, I don't know, when we were talking about the amusement parks and stuff and all the old weird things, I'm really into the whole weird New Jersey thing. I don't know if you guys are familiar
with those two
guys, but they have like magazines and they have a website and books and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just cool because I'm on their mailing list or whatever because I subscribe to their magazine and I'm all excited because their new magazine's coming out in May.
Oh, cool.
It's all going to be chock full of good weirdness.
So it's going to be,
you know?
They do not just New Jersey, right? Like, they do weird...
Yeah, they have, like, weird PA, weird, you know, New York. I think they have other people...
New Jersey's the weirdest.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so this will be, like, a monthly mag, like, print mag?
Well, they've been doing the magazine for years.
Okay.
And I think it comes out twice a year, but they started doing the books, like the weird New Jersey book and the weird PA book. But then they have, you know, different states. I think different people that live, you know, in those states probably write them. I don't think they actually write them.
No, they go and live in each state for 5 years. And then
they did actually travel around and do a show on the History Channel for a while.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
They did Weird U.S. and
what
they
a
went
great
around.
Freaking
and,
job.
I know. Isn't that
Let's
the best?
Let's go out and look for oddballs, everybody.
That would be the best job ever. And look like they're having so much fun.
Yeah.
So.
And, all right, cool.
But those are my two things.
And, of course, the MichelleMelcher.com.
Oh, yeah.
With one L.
Yeah. Yeah, 1-0.
Let's not put 2 in there and be stupid.
No.
Todd, did we give your shout already?
I have one.
All right.
I have basically written off VH1 as like a place where tramps vie for the attention of washed up rock stars,
where
right?
C-list celebrities exchange fluids.
Right. Okay. But there's the but. There is a show that you may or may not have caught so far called Free Radio.
I heard it's funny.
It is brilliant. It's the premise is that it's a radio station where the DJ, it was like a talk radio show, like a Howard Stern type show. The head DJ couldn't make it or something, and the intern, who is naive and dim-witted and bumbling, he sat in. and the response and the ratings went through the roof. So consequently, he's now the new DJ, and now, so first of all, he's great, he's brilliant, his agent is hysterical, you know, but they have guests come in who are celebrities, and it's all extemporaneous, it's all improvisational. Right. So the guests know that this is a guy playing a bumbling idiot of a DJ, but they don't know what he's going to say, right, and right. He is so, you know, he's way out in left field, so the way they react is just really priceless. They're all great sports. It's really funny. Like,
who's,
you know,
been on so far?
I saw the guy from 24, Keith or Sutherland.
A lot of television people that I wouldn't know, like, that are on, you know, like, Bewitched, or not Bewitched, Charmed, you know, like those kind
of Charmed. Like, you can't even think of one show that's on the air right now. You know, Bev Niner.
They're coming in on their walkers.
Gilligan's Island, or I don't know. But no, like, they're mostly television stars.
Ghost
I don't even recognize.
Guys.
Right.
But it's really funny, and they always get into some kind of, like, he offends them inevitably, yeah. And it's right. A really great show. Yeah, check it out. Free radio.
Doesn't it bug you, though? Like, all right, I hate VH1 now. And then when something good comes on it, you're just like, oh, man, you blew it. Now I have to watch it.
Yeah. Why are you ruining my black and white world?
True.
With a shade of gray.
What do you got, Jeff?
Lastly, I have a great book I'm reading right now. I can only read in small increments. You know, I my eyes hurt. I have children, babies in the house. And so I can read it like 15 minutes a pop. So this book is perfect for me. It's called The Secret Lives of Great Authors. And it's by Quirk Books out of Philadelphia. Quirk Books, awesome. There was actually just thing in the Inquirer yesterday about the guy who started Quirk Books. They became famous for their survival guides. It's a mix of, like, very useful information with a touch of comedy. You know what
is
I mean?
Is it like is there for every author a big caricature of them and then, like, a page and a half of their life? Like,
kind
of like a soap opera? Because there's one for visual artists.
They do a lot of books like that. And they have great illustrators, by the way, who do all their books. Jim Gladstone, who we had on the show, he had a book with Quirk Books, his Games to Go. And they're really, really handsome books. And this book is awesome. It's about all of our favorite authors, everyone from Hemingway to T.S. Eliot to Yeats to Kurt Vonnegut. It gives you, they're basically, I've read 10 entries, and everyone is either a perv, a raging alcoholic, or a raging anti-Semite.
Oh,
I mean, just horrible. They're all horrible people. It's just like, you know, Franz Kafka had really bad self-image, so of course he went to hookers and contracted every disease. T.S. Eliot, very prim and proper man, but boy, did he hate Jewish people with the fervor of 10,000 white-hot suns. You know, like, everything, you're like, wow, I never know about this guy. You know, Edgar Allan Poe was kicked out of military academy. Louisa May Alcott, Little Women, was addicted to opium. And it's written in nice bite-sized kind of chunks where you can be like, all right, I just read 3 or 4 pages. I know a little bit more about Jack London.
The biggest
alcoholic writer in the history. He lost all his teeth because he just gave up on caring.
Oh.
He was so drunk, you know.
Awesome. Yeah.
So it's a great book, and there's a lot of great books. Go to quirkbook.com, quirkbooks.com, and check out Secret Lives of Authors. Russ, you're looking at our time.
Yes.
And I believe, sadly,
we're out of it.
Russ, we're not going to be able to discuss your book. Maybe next show. Michelle, any parting words? Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be checking out your website, your blog, and Roller Girls, and all your awards you'll be winning in the future.
And waiting with bated breath for each new Twitter.
That's right. Everybody get on Twitter.
Change my screen name.
Everybody Twitter MichelleMelcher.com. Thanks. That was Podcast 46.
See ya.